Welcome back to the Garage Hockey Podcast. My name is Felix Sicard. I'm joined by Nick and Joe Berger. And the NHL trade deadline is this week. Is it Tuesday or Wednesday? It's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. But teams decided to get a head start on the trade deadline this weekend. The first trade, well, there was a trade Friday we're going to get into later. But today, two pretty big trades happened with some pieces that have been in the rumor mill for a long time. The first one being Ben Bishop going to the Los Angeles Kings along with a fifth-round draft pick for Peter Budaj, Peter Cernak, and a 2017 seventh-round pick. So, a lot to unpack there, but basically the quick breakdown is that the Lightning had to move a goaltender, and they already had committed to the fact that Vasilevsky was going to be their goalie of the future. They get a guy in Budaj that they can now expose. So that's basically, you know, sort of the methodology there for them. And then for L.A., dot, dot, dot. Like, I'll let you guys try to tackle this one because I'm not sure I have a great explanation.
I get that they're concerned that Jonathan Quick won't be able to either stay healthy or that he won't be ready enough to shoulder such a heavy workload that he would normally have. Because he came off such a long injury and it takes time to, you know, get your stamina back up and get back into game shape. So I understand the concern for them at the goaltending position. And it's obviously never bad to have two great goaltenders because you want goaltending to be a position of strength. But this just doesn't make that much sense to me because this is a team that I think struggles to score goals. I don't think goaltending is the issue that they really needed to address. And it's like, okay, Bishop is clearly a rental, but I don't know what good it's going to do to have two really good goalies if you're lacking in other areas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, they can only play one at a time. You know, yeah. One of them's going to be on the bench.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. You can't have both of them in net.
Yeah, and I mean, how much workload does Bishop really shoulder? Like, you never really hear him making, you know, you hear about him making, you know, 35, 40 saves a night because he plays on LA, one of the best defensive teams, you know, the past decade.
Talking about Budaj?
No, Bishop. Quick.
Quick, yeah.
So, I mean, having an insurance policy to help with the workload is kind of thin. It's a thin reason. You know, if they don't believe that he's 100% or, you know, they want to make sure that they can give him a buffer while they're getting ready. And, you know, the thing is, you know, they're not getting ready for the playoffs. They're not in the playoffs right now.
Right.
You know, I can't remember how many points, at least 4 points back. Mm. I think it's more like six.
Currently not in a playoff spot, yeah, is the main point.
Yeah, they're currently not in a playoff spot. And, you know, they need, you know, Dean Lombardi said that, you know, we need to win every game. We want to be in the best position to win every game down the home stretch. And, you know, getting another starting goalie. You know, they were doing well enough with Budaj, and then they get Bishop back, and then they make a move that just doesn't really make sense. Like, it doesn't help them.
Yeah, like, it makes sense that they want to have the insurance policy, but like you said, both of them can't play at the same time. I don't know how they're going to, like, distribute the workload now, you know? I don't know if...
Well, apparently Bishop might start tomorrow.
Okay.
So, here's the thing. So, Jonathan Quick, his career save percentage is .916.
Mm.
This season, Ben Bishop has a .911. And, oh, I know that over the last few games, I think it's been, like, the last eight games, Peter Budaj is rocking, like, a .88 or something like that. But for a large portion of the season, he was hovering around .920. Like, he's been good. Like, he's been very good for them.
Yeah.
And to go out and get a guy who has always actually has been injury prone over the last three seasons, the most games he's played is like 63, which is a good load for a goalie, but he's had injuries
in the playoffs.
And the whole idea of this is so that you can give an insurance policy if Quick gets injured, but you're getting a guy who's also injury prone.
Yeah.
So, and a guy who's just not all that good. So, I don't see, there is no way to rationalize this. Like, I mean, I'm listening to you guys trying to kind of piece this together, but there isn't a rationale. It's just they thought they think that first off, they think Ben Bishop is really good, obviously. And second, it's a clear sign that they don't have a lot of faith in Quick and his ability to stay healthy. But the LA Kings are fine. Like, mm-hmm. they're 3 points out of a playoff spot, thanks to St. Louis losing tonight and the Kings winning yesterday against Anaheim. They just need to be able to score more goals. Like, the fact that they're in this position right now speaks to, the fabulous coaching job that Daryl Sutter has done this year in keeping this sort of ship afloat. The fact that Peter Budaj played so well. And the fact that they have some really good players, you know, Andrzej Kopitar, Jeff Carter, I think, is he at 30 goals yet?
30 goals.
Yeah, he scored his 30th against Anaheim yesterday. So this was not, like, this is a clear case of not being able to identify what your team actually needs. And, you know, if they really did want a backup, look, there are other ways to get a backup goalie that doesn't involve moving a bunch of assets. Because, like, the defenseman they traded, Cernak, to me, from what I've read, scouting reports, he seems like a B... C plus level prospect. So like a decent prospect, a draft pick, and then, you know, a goalie who's been very good for you.
An actual backup.
Yeah. So none of this really makes sense. And I find it perplexing, but I also think that it's in line with, I think Dean Lombardi is a vastly overrated GM. And to me, this just, you know, when they were explaining it today, they couldn't even really come up with any good reasons. So I don't know. If I were to give this trade a grade, like if I'm going to look at this trade just bare bones, like what was, you know, the pieces going each way, like Tampa Bay clearly wins this trade.
Mm.
Clearly. Like it's not even close.
And you know yeah. they do because, you know, they've had opportunities in the past couple of years to unload Bishop.
Yeah. Yeah. Like was this the best? Well, they were able to do better. I don't know.
I get trading Peter Budaj because his value is never going to be higher, but they should have traded him for something else that they need more, like goal scoring. But then I understand that the problem becomes you don't really have a reliable backup because the last guy was Jeff Zatkoff, which is never good.
Yeah.
So that sort of trades one problem for another. So I get going out and getting a more reliable goalie, but they're just... Like, this was a complete misevaluation of what they really needed.
And, you know, another thing that I heard after the trade earlier in the day was, you know, that had something to do with the expansion draft. And, you know, one of the rules is you have to expose at least one goalie with, I can't remember what the qualifications are, but he has to have played a certain amount of time in the NHL. And Bishop's a UFA at the end of the year. And Budaj was a UFA at the end of the year. So now what do the Kings have?
Yeah.
You know, and that reasoning just, you know, didn't make sense either. You know, it's not really a trade move or an expansion move.
It's not. It's a very, like, short-sighted kind of, like, insurance move, except you're moving, like assets that have value to get worse at a position that was actually a strength for you. Because if you put, I think the way Budaj was playing, even though he was struggling recently, I think that like the goaltending was not an issue for them.
Yeah.
And the thing with the Kings is they can kind of put anyone back there and they're going to do very well. So I guess the real winner in this trade is Ben Bishop, because he's going to be on a team now that's going to really insulate his game and he's going to be able to thrive
and potentially get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I just don't even think Ben Bishop is that good. I think he's like a decent starting goaltender. Like
the best stretch of his career was leading up to the 2012 Olympics, which Jonathan Quick started over Ben Bishop, even though he should not have. But you know, Ben Bishop was playing phenomenal.
You're talking about 2014 Olympics, the Sochi.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you know, after that, you know, after the Olympics, you know, were played and passed, they. You know, he sort of reverted back to what we see more of now, and you know, he played, you know, played out the season, you know, well, not as well as the first half, and then next season not as well as the previous season overall, and he's sort of just been, even though, you know, they've gone to the Cup since then, Tampa has, you know, but he hasn't really, he hasn't been great.
I think he's a good
bottom line.
I think he's a good goalie, but I think he is overrated. Because for such a big goalie, it feels like he gets beat on a lot of straight shots that are like not screened.
Especially glove hand. Like the number of pucks that he drops or just misses glove hand.
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep in mind, last year he had a 926, which sounds really good. But when you think about it, that last year, the average save percentage was so much higher.
Mm-hmm.
That .920 or scratching above that wasn't really all that impressive, or at least not as impressive as in years past. The year before that, he had a 916. The year before that, he had a 924. So, he's clearly got game. It's just he's not, even then, okay, just forget all this. Why do they need that guy?
Yeah.
You know, this is not the guy you need. I don't know why I'm going down that rabbit hole. I think he's overrated. Yeah, he's flawed. But, you could do worse for a starting goaltender.
For sure.
It's just, you have Jonathan Quick.
Yeah.
And, I'm a huge skeptic of Jonathan Quick. But at the same time, he is still an NHL-level starting goaltender. And as a team that's so proficient defensively, that's all you really need. You don't need a guy to steal you games. And you had a guy in Peter Budaj who clearly demonstrated that he was a good enough backup to get in there and not lose you any games, which is really all you need to ask of your backup. So you put all that together, and it's at what point were they we need a Ben Bishop? I just don't understand how you watch this team every day, you spend all this time studying your team, and your big takeaway is that we need a goaltender.
Yeah,
it's hard to understand.
If we look back at when the two favorites coming out of the West were either LA or Chicago, when LA was winning cups and making it to the finals, their biggest asset was their depth, particularly down the middle. And then once Stoll and Williams left, they have not been the same team.
Well, they haven't been quite as dominant because they just haven't been able to score.
They never really were able to score. They were the model of winning 2-1 or 3-2.
But except now they can barely even do that.
Mm.
I mean, I look at this team now, and one thing I've thought about is maybe they're trading for Bishop to then trade him, but
That would be interesting.
Yeah, see, because then that would make sense, because Bishop still holds value as an asset, so...
So he could turn into the goal scorer that they need.
But why not make it a three-way trade? If they're just going to flip him, wouldn't it make sense? If they had an idea.
Yeah, but three-way trades don't really happen in hockey.
But if they knew they were going to get rid of him and they had a good idea for whom, then it would make sense to involve the third team, unless Steve Yzerman was just no, we do not want that happening.
I mean, ultimately, you look at what they gave up to get Ben Bishop, and none of it is really that crazy. They didn't give up a first-round pick, a second-round pick, a third-round pick. It's a lot of loose change, but the thing is, you could have just used that on something else that you needed more. So if they were able to flip Bishop into, let's say, Radim Verbata or something, or not that that trade would ever make sense, but the point is, you get a middling goal scorer, rental type. It's okay, so you gave up a bunch of stuff. You didn't really give up anything valuable. So it would make sense. Then it would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's still kind of a weird path to take to get there, but I would at least understand the logic. So until that happens, I'm going to give this trade a thumbs down for LA and a pretty big thumbs up for Tampa Bay, because, look, they address a situation that they've been dealing with for the last basically 2 years. And, they got some assets out of it. They got a prospect who maybe will be a player. They got a goaltender who's not going to hurt them now and who they're going to be able to use basically to keep Vasilevsky. And they got a draft pick. So, that's a pretty good haul. I think they could have done better for Bishop. Mm. I don't know. I think, if anything, they probably waited a little too long. Because, I mean, it sounds like they had offers on the table from teams like Calgary last summer.
Right.
So, but put it all together, and I think that they still... the fact that they were able to get value for him is pretty good. So I'll give them a thumbs up.
And I think it's safe to say that if Jonathan Quick didn't get hurt, there's no way this trade happens.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If Jonathan Quick's health isn't at all in question, then yeah, there's no way. It's weird because he's back. He's missed 59 games, but do they think he's going to get hurt again? It's weird. He's mostly, it feels like he's mostly been healthy throughout his career. So...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's like a worry there. It's just kind of hard to understand.
With Jonathan Quick, the way he plays, you know, because he's so athletic and, you know, he stretches for everything. You know, you always see him in the splits and, you know, very decent splits. But if they're worried about him aging and not rebounding as well, or, you know, just, you know, his body starting to break down, you know, the way he plays is sort of playing into that. So,
well, and that's kind of their own fault. I mean, you look at, you know, last season he played 68 games. Season before that he played 72 games. Like, a guy who plays
so much.
A guy who, and like, and before that, you know, he's had, you know, in 2011, 2012, he played 69 games, and, you know, he had a couple seasons with a lot less games than after that, but overall he has a lot of miles in his body. So I get the idea of wanting to, like, insulate him. Like, that idea in and of itself isn't problematic to me. It's the fact that they went about it this way,
and it doesn't really matter in the long run, because, you know, that's what we're talking about here with Quick, is the long run with the rest of his career. And, you know, Bishop is a UFA. They have him for, you know, 25 more games, if not even that.
Well, yeah, and that's why, to me, even though I'm saying obviously they didn't give up a whole lot, but you use stuff that you could have used for something else that would have helped you more for a guy who's never going to be an LA King past the season. Like, there's no way in hell he comes back. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, no.
So he's either going to be in Vegas or he's going to be on another team. Yeah. Or a team not Vegas. Yeah.
Unless Jonathan Quick gets abducted by aliens or something.
Yeah, so I just don't... Again, unless they flip him, I just don't see how this turns into, you know, a good deal for them.
I mean, on the Tampa Bay side, it's going to be interesting to watch, because, you know, Tampa Bay, they're towards the bottom of the East, but they're in the Atlantic, the worst conference in hockey right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, Andrei Vasilevskiy has not had a great season.
Yeah.
And he's the guy now.
Yeah.
You know, is he going to continue being mediocre, or is he going to step up and, you know, maybe because of him, because of maybe any sort of success he has, you know, maybe just because they get a kick in the pants, you know, do the Lightning go on a run and, you know, actually push for the playoffs?
Yeah, I just think I'm not really worried about that, just because Bishop was just as bad, you know, so it's not like they picked the wrong guy. Like, yeah. I think Vasilevskiy will be fine. You know, there's no way to really know, but I think he's shown just enough to where you can have confidence. And look, if you don't, you can always make a trade. Like, it's not... They're not stuck. They're not really married to anyone, you know, so that's
good. Yeah, I know an extra team in L.A. that has an extra goalie.
Yeah, right. Okay, so any final thoughts on this trade?
No, tired of talking about L.A.
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Drawing a line in the sand.
No love?
No love.
No California love? So probably the biggest trade of today, Arizona Coyotes trading Martin Hansel, Ryan White, in a 2017 fourth rounder to Minnesota. Minnesota sends a 2017 first rounder, 2018 second rounder, a 2019 conditional fourth rounder, and minor leaguer Grayson Downing to Arizona. So a boatload of draft picks to Arizona, which is exactly what they should be trading for right now, and a prospect. And in return, they send Hansel and Ryan White.
And so, Shane Doan's heart.
So... I mean, that's a lot to unpack there. What do you guys think?
Well, it sounded, first of all, like John Chayka, the Arizona GM, was trying to get actual real-life players, not draft picks.
Not Pronger and Datsyuk.
No, he wanted...
But still like, prospect-level players, though.
Yeah, like guys that are... like, actually exist that can play.
Yeah, because there was a rumor that they were trying, that Montreal was interested in Martin Hansel, but the asking price was a first rounder, I think also a second rounder, and Michael McCarron.
Which is, I mean, the first and second rounder is what they gave up.
That's a lot, though.
That's a lot.
That's a lot for a third line center.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's all he is. He's like a 10 to 15 goal guy. Maybe 20 on a really, really good day, but...
But he's not going to get those kind of minutes.
No, he's not, which is fine, because you look at the way he's going to fit into that lineup. They already have Staal and Koivu. Yeah. It's like they're 1-2 center.
Yeah, now they're pretty deep at center.
They're very deep at center. I mean, I think this makes Eric Holla their fourth line center, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, you could do far worse.
He might already be better than Hansel.
He might be.
I think Hansel's a really good two-way player.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He's not really much of a scorer, but he does make them, like, he makes them better.
Yeah, I think he's very much going to be in more of a third line, more of a defensive role. They could put him in front of the net on the power play if they want to, but I think he'll be killing penalties. But like you said, it's always good to be deep at center.
Yeah, I kind of worry. At first I looked at that trade and I thought, man, that's a lot to give up for, you know, a third line center.
It is.
And, you know, a third line center who I don't know how much better that really makes them, like 10% better, 15% better. Like this isn't the LA Kings trading for Jeff Carter at the trade deadline. You know, it's not that kind of move.
Yeah, I mean, the argument to be made is they were doing just fine without him.
Yeah, but they didn't give up anyone on the roster, which is really big, so they're only adding. And then, you know, you look at the prospect pool they have, and they actually have some really good prospects. Mm. You know, Erickson Ek, who looked really good in the beginning of the season, and then Kirill Kaprizov, who looked really good at the World Juniors, the Russian sniper, along with some other guys. So really, I thought about it. I'm like, you know, they feel good about their prospect depth. This year's draft is apparently pretty weak, you know, especially up top.
Mm-hmm.
So why not? Yeah. You know, like, because to me, look, a lot of people right away jumped and said, oh, Hansel sucks. Why would you give up all that? But, you know, like, the whole point is to win the Stanley Cup.
And, you know, they're...
Yeah, like, that's the whole reason for this thing we're doing here.
And their roster, you know, they're not getting younger. You know yeah. Guys like Parise, Pominville, Koivu.
A lot of money there.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, they're in the best position to win the cup that they've been in, probably since they've been in Minnesota.
Yeah, so to me, I look at this and I'm like, you know, like good for Minnesota, because I think they're confident in the prospects they have, and as am I. Like, Kaprizov is going to be really good. But you look at all that and you're like, why not just go for it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the Western Conference is pretty weak this year. Like, there's not really any team in the Western Conference right now who I feel 100% great about.
Right.
So, and, well, maybe outside of the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah.
So, you look at all that, and you're like, why not just go for it? You know, and Hansel is going to make them better. I don't know how much better, but he definitely solidifies them. I'm all in.
And we'll see how the rest of that division responds, if anyone else is going to... I mean, Chicago already made a move getting Yurko from Detroit.
Yeah, but I don't. Who knows if he's even gonna play, or like how much he's gonna play? You know, if I just kind of look at that and I think of Teravainen and how that turned out. And I mean, Yurko isn't exactly the same kind of player, but it's the same mold. You know, young, skilled European player. And I don't know. Quenneville doesn't seem to trust those guys, so right. I can't imagine that he's gonna play all that much.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't trust old European players either. Kimmo Timonen.
Yeah, so right. I don't know. Like, does this make Minnesota a clear cut contender or a clear cut favorite to come out of the West? Probably not.
Right.
But it does make them better. I don't think it's a question.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, like we said, they were doing just fine without him. This certainly only makes them better. It doesn't make them worse at all. I think I've heard some concerns about will he be able to keep up, because that's a pretty quick team now that he's playing.
Yeah, and very, very fast-paced team.
He's definitely not a speedster by any means.
Yeah.
And that's really going to show in the playoffs. You know, the number of minutes he gets is going to be related to, you know, whether or not he can keep up. In the regular season, the remaining games, he's going to, you know, get his minutes. You know, he's going to be fine. And like you said, that, you know, he's probably going to be used more on the penalty kill than on the power play.
Yeah, more of a shutdown role.
Yeah, and you know, he doesn't need to be fast for that. He just needs positionally sound. And, you know, for keeping up with guys, you know, if he's on a line with two guys that are fast, you know, you could be below average with speed. And if you're paired with two guys that have speed, he's very insulated there.
Right. And it's not to take away from Martin Hansel, because he's been a very good player in the league for several years. And, you know, he the guy can play. So I don't mean to take anything away from him. I think he will be fine. But
yeah.
Good for him. He went from the outhouse to the penthouse real quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting now, because you look at the rest of the Western Conference and Nashville's looking a lot better lately.
Yeah, they really are.
LA's climbing up the standings, and I think LA has another move that they're going to make. San Jose is still there. So we're kind of getting a better feel for who are the, you know, the teams that we're going to see towards the finish line. But I think now Minnesota's clearly saying, like, we consider ourselves the best.
And, you know? And I think they should. Going down the what the teams have in the Central, I think they're the favorites.
I mean, I think a Minnesota-Washington Stanley Cup final seems pretty likely right now.
I think that'd be fun.
Bruce Boudreau versus his old team.
Yeah. Great storyline.
I just, right now, Minnesota's probably the team I have the most faith in to come out of the West, just because I think just the way they play and the depth that they have, and now even more depth, the goaltending they have, the blue line, it just, the coaching, it's just like, how can you not like that team?
Yeah, they have all the pieces. So the interesting thing now is you talked about the rest of the West and their path and what are other teams going to do. Anaheim tried to make a move themselves.
Yeah.
I just couldn't wait to see the reaction.
All right, everyone just picture the Picard face palm.
So, all right. So I guess that's that for Martin Hansel. I'll give it a thumbs up. Kind of a reluctant thumbs up for Minnesota, but I think all things considered, the draft picks they gave up aren't going to kill them. It's a lot to pay for what Martin Hansel is, but
they can afford it.
They can afford it. Yeah. And then for Arizona, two thumbs up because they basically get rid of a guy that probably wasn't going to come back anyway. He's a UFA this year for, you know, I mean, they now have so many draft picks.
Yeah.
So the thing with Arizona, though, is they're going to have to do something with all that at some point.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like they're...
They're turning into the Oilers before McDavid.
Well, they're smarter than the Oilers ever were. It's just you can't do this forever, you know? And I think it will turn around, maybe as soon as next season. But we'll see. I don't know. All right. So before all this happened, Friday afternoon, Anaheim Ducks sent a conditional second-round pick to the Dallas Stars for Patrick Eaves. What do you guys think of that?
I mean, Anaheim needed more goal scoring because they've struggled to put the puck in the net, and they looked at Patrick Eaves, and he has 21 goals. He's having a really good season on a high octane, like purely offensive style Dallas team. And I think with that move, they think that they're just going to be getting a guy that's going to stay on pace for the same pace that he was scoring goals with Dallas. But with Anaheim, my first thought was they play such a different style, and they're even turning Corey Perry into a bad goal scorer. So, I don't know if their expectations for this move are very realistic.
The kind of move that it is, like you said, you know, they're expecting him to stay on pace for what he's doing. It sort of seems like the kind of move where they're trying to augment a line like Getzlaf and Perry, and you know, just add another touch of scoring, and just you know, make it a complete, you know, just give coaches fits trying to shut it down. But you know that's not the scenario this year. You know, Getzlaf and Perry have not played on the same line for many games, and you know, so they're not really augmenting anything. They're just sort of adding another piece to the scramble.
Yeah, I think I actually really like Patrick Eaves as a player. I think that he's going to help them a lot. I think that he's going to improve. Just he's kind of going to reallocate, you know, because I think they've been using him in the top six, and I think everyone's going to kind of settle into better roles. But the comments that Bob Murray made about it were kind of interesting to me, because he made it sound like basically they've been using or relying too much on young players, and you can't do that, you know, through the playoffs. And it's like, I'm pretty sure teams do that all the time.
That's how Chicago started.
Yeah, or Pittsburgh. I mean, Sidney Crosby was like, what, like 23 when they first won a cup or something like that, if that.
And you know, he should know about young players. You know, teams rely on young players in the playoffs, because that Calgary Anaheim series, you know, Calgary did not go away.
I just think about it, and I think they think that he's going to help them, you know, improve their goal scoring. And I don't think that's going to happen, because you know, Patrick Eaves is a good player, and he has a really good shot. But at the end of the day, he's never going to drive goal scoring. He's more of like, you can put him with good players and he's going to do really well. Mm. So look, if he plays with Getzlaf and, you know, Richie or Kasha, like he's going to look really good, because that's the kind of player he is. I just don't think this is like the move, you know, right. You need another move if you really want to fix the goal scoring.
I was going to say, do you think there's another one coming? Or
I think there is, but the problem is, and here's another thing. Let's say you add a player. Okay, let's say that they trade, I don't know,
Cam Fowler.
They trade a defenseman and they get Gabriel Landeskog. Even then, this team plays such a like non-offensive style. You can't just inject players and hope that it just changes halfway through the season or like past the halfway point now. So I'm like, on paper, this is a good move for Anaheim because kind of a whatever draft pick for a pretty good player who's costing you nothing and who's going to be gone after the season. Like, it's not a bad move on paper. I just don't think they're getting what they think they're getting.
Yeah.
I think they looked, and I think this is very similar to the Antoine Vermette signing of last summer where they probably did was they looked at how he plays and then they looked at, oh yeah, look, he has 25 goals this year. And they're like, okay, yeah, this is our guy.
But they didn't extrapolate out how he would perform.
I don't think they peeled back the layers and said, well, how is he scoring? I wrote about this today. 11 of his 21 goals have come on the power play this year. He plays a ton with Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. And, I mean, all due respect to guys like Perry and Getzlaff, but they're not those guys.
Nope.
Not even close. So, I don't know. I feel like they basically gave up a second-round draft pick for or a conditional second-round draft pick for kind of a middle six guy.
Right.
To me, it's not terrible. It's not great.
They didn't get worse.
And I like Eves, and I think like he does make them better. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not trying to be negative about this. It's just
they're not thinking right.
I don't think they're thinking right, yeah, which is kind of a theme with them. Like, you should have seen, because when I put out my article today about this trade, I got a lot of backlash, people saying that I'm like overly negative or whatever. It's like, well, I'm just being like analytical, you know?
Yeah, we'll see how it works.
We'll see. But I mean, I think he's going to play fine. I think he's going to play even very well. I just, if they really are thinking this is the guy who's going to come in and score goals, it's just, it might not happen.
Yeah, whether or not they end up trading a defenseman for another big offensive piece, you know, remains to be seen. You know, they seem to be pretty stubborn.
I don't think it's going to happen either.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think part of their thinking with Eves is, well, that sort of gives them security to not do that because they think,
yeah, we got our guy now.
Yeah. You know, if we get someone else, you know, we get a steal, great. Yeah. If we don't, we're comfortable. And, you know, they shouldn't be comfortable with that.
Well, the theme that I've noticed with Bob Murray over the last couple of years is that when it comes to offensive scoring talent, he loves to kind of, you know, get guys in the cheap. I mean, you look at last season, and he got Chris Stewart on like a 1-point-something deal for the year. He had Mike Santarelli for peanuts. Who else was there? You know, Jamie McGinn got him for basically nothing at the trade deadline. So he likes to get these forwards kind of on the cheap.
Brandon Peary.
Yeah, he got Brandon Peary for nothing, basically. So you put all that together, and basically, he's very good at getting sort of a lot of value for like not a whole lot of cost. But then, so we're talking offense, goal scoring. But then for stuff like third line grinders and fourth liners, he kind of just brings out the money boat.
Yeah.
And like, that's just not how you win. Like he's very stingy and like kind of likes to cut corners with offense. But when it comes to guys like Bieksa or Vermette, or, you know, you name it, it's like, oh yeah, here's a no move clause, and like here's a huge contract. Like that's just,
yeah. He's taking to me,
this is just more of the same.
He's taking the importance of a good third and fourth line way too seriously.
Yeah,
you know, he's paying them like they're the second line.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of people say, oh, but look how much he's paying Perry and Getzlaff. Well, that's just normal.
Yeah,
that's not
every team has them.
Yeah, every team, you need those kind of guys. That's how you build an NHL team. So, yeah, I mean, I'll give this a thumbs up for Anaheim. Like, it's not a bad trade. I just think they're going to be disappointed with what they're getting because I think they don't. They think something else of Eves than the reality.
He's not the last piece to the puzzle.
He does fit the Randy Carlyle mold of a guy that's going to hustle and draw penalties and be kind of gritty. You know, I think that was attractive to them.
Drew a penalty in the last game.
I think. Yeah, he's actually supposed to be really good at drawing penalties. I'm trying to think. Because up front, they might only have, like, one European forward.
Is it Kasha?
I think that's it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, Silfverberg.
Yeah, it's Silfverberg. Yes. But all the guys they have they kind of pride themselves on playing that like North American style, you know, kind of up and down, gritty.
The Sharks have been like that for a long time.
And yeah, but the Sharks also have skilled guys too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
like so. you can kind of do stuff like that when you already have Thornton, Marlowe, yeah. Pavelski. But anyway, yeah. So you know, not a bad move for the Ducks. I just think I'd be worried if they actually think that this is like going to be it.
Right.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. It's a thumbs up move. It's just, I think it's not, I would keep expectations kind of tempered.
Yeah. And on the Dallas side, I mean, could they have done better? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, you would think that you could have, you know, kind of leverage a little harder the fact that this guy has a 21 goal season right now.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that you could maybe get not a first round pick, but let's say, I don't know, a second rounder, like not a conditional second rounder, but just a straight up second rounder and like maybe a prospect. I don't know. I feel like if Martin Hansel gets you, you know, like the King's ransom.
Yeah.
You would think that for a quality player in Patrick Eaves, you could get more than that.
Yeah. So Dallas is just a kind of a confusing team right now. I don't really know what direction they're going at this point.
Well, I think the thing with them is not many people, like, I don't think Lindy Ruff is back next season.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't even know if Jim Nill is back next season. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, it's quite likely. They just, because they took such a sharp downward turn this season after a really good year last year, and they lost some important pieces. You know, Jason Demers was very good for them, and so this is sort of a reflection of the GM not being able to plug those holes.
Yeah. All right. So that's our pre-trade deadline. I figured, you know, with all these moves that happened over the last 3 days, we kind of had to get in and,
yeah,
you know, quickly recap them, because starting this week, we're going to see a lot more. It's going to get crazy. I'm pretty excited. We're definitely going to do a lot for the trade deadline.
Yeah, we'll be all up in it.
I think you guys will like what's coming. And, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping to see a pretty busy trade deadline. I kind of get the sense that it won't be.
Mm.
I think that GMs are realizing, like, oh, wait, we can just wait till summer to make all these moves for the expansion draft.
Right.
So I'm hoping for a crazy trade deadline. I know that, you know, people like the TSN panel and Sportsnet are hoping for a big one, because that's kind of, this is like their, this is kind of like their thing.
Yeah, it's their Christmas.
It's a weird season, though, because there are a lot of teams that are, even though they're not that many points out of a spot, are sort of, They're out of it. Like, they have too many teams to leapfrog. Yeah. And then the teams that are looking to bolster the lineup are looking for depth.
Yeah, a lot of teams don't think they're out, even though they are. Like, the Detroit Red Wings do not want to miss the playoffs. They don't want to end their streak, even though...
And they are. They absolutely are.
Yeah, but...
They're so in denial.
Yeah, so I'm... Any bold predictions before the trade deadline? Let's just do this real quick.
Ooh. Joe, you got anything? I don't know.
Like... Give me one outlandish trade. I'm putting you on the spot here.
I think I said it last time. I think Ryan Hartman is going to get traded for Matt Duchene.
You really think that?
No.
You think Matt Duchene is going to Chicago?
No, I don't. I would not be... I think he's moving. He's going somewhere, right? He's got to be going somewhere.
Okay.
But, I mean, I don't think Chicago... It would obviously be great to have him. I don't know that they really need him.
Right.
But, I mean, Chicago made a whole bunch of moves last year. I could see them, you know, dipping their toes in that water.
I'll give you a crazy one.
I wish you would.
Shane Doan's going to get traded.
I mean, he
might want to leave now.
He came so, so close to calling out John Chayka. He was so mad.
I think he's out.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to Anaheim.
You think he's going to Anaheim?
Yeah.
He's going to Anaheim.
Why not?
Why not?
I'm calling it now. My other kind of outlandish one is like Alex Galchenyuk going to Colorado. That's the other one. So we'll see.
Which guy would be going back, though, to Montreal?
Duchene. I think like there's going to be one really crazy trade that we're not going to see coming. Mm-hmm. I think Shane Doan's getting traded.
Yeah. I mean...
He can still help a team.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah.
I think he's...
I'd rather have him than Jarmo Ginla, probably.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I think he's been saying all this time that he wants to stay because he's a career Coyote/Jet.
But I think now he might feel a little betrayed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he probably feels betrayed because of the Hansel trade. And also, if he wants to win the Cup, the clock's ticking on his career. Like, he doesn't have a whole lot of time. He doesn't have time to make it all the way through this rebuild and win the cup. No. So, like, if he's going to win the cup, he's got to bounce. Yeah.
So, who's your surprise team to make a move?
So, I think...
who's going to go bold? Because I could see, like, St. Louis trying to do something bold.
I mean,
I don't know if Shattenkirk's getting traded now, but he could be.
I think the Rangers might be on it.
Rangers?
Yeah. Hmm. Like, because they're in a spot where, you know, they're decent, but they're not quite...
The clock is ticking on Henrik Lundqvist's career.
Yeah, so I mean, they could use a little bolstering in the lineup. Like, their forward group is pretty good. And, you know, the big-name defenseman out there is, you know, Shattenkirk. Yeah. But I don't see them giving up really
much. He might not even get traded. That's the thing. Yeah. And then after that, I mean, I can't even think of a defenseman right now.
But I wouldn't be surprised to see the Rangers being active on the trade deadline.
All right. There you have it. Some kind of random predictions.
Yeah, there you go. Hold us to it.
Shane Doan's going to the Ducks.
Yeah. Listen back to this podcast after this all goes down and hold us to it.
He's going to get Orange County fever.
Radim Verbata's going to L.A. No, I don't know. For Ben Bishop.
Shattenkirk's going to Boston. Guys, thank you for listening to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. If you want to hear more, we are on iTunes and Stitcher. If you want to join the conversation, hit us up on Twitter at Garage Hockey Pod. We'll talk to you very soon, right around the trade deadline. Thanks for listening.
I like how you slipped that Shattenkirk to Boston in right at the end.